B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Come with it now. Okay, Bert Breer is supposed to be here right now.
Does he know this?
Here's his seat.
What's funny? He requested a time change today. He requested to begin his time with us at 10 a.m.
You know what the jackass did? He tweeted out from the Dallas airport.
When?
Gee, Jared, this morning.
What time?
I don't know. I'll look at it.
Maybe he will not be beginning until 11.
You know how long that flight is from Dallas?
About 3.5 hours. I've done that one before. I think it's about three and a half. What time was that at?
I'm looking.
Like to know.
As he goes, Albert.
I would search for Breer.
I got Albert Breer.
13 hours ago? It's the last one I see.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I thought it was this morning.
Okay.
I looked at it.
You need to change that to latest tweets on your phone.
How do you do that?
Because you're probably looking at home.
Yeah, I get like the, yeah, I do. I always go to the home.
Here. Go to that little star up there.
Yeah, hold on. Yep.
Right? Yeah. And then it drops down. Home this shows you top tweets
radio.
First.
You guys,
and you go see
up.
Latest tweets instead. Hit that.
You guys are crushing it.
We'll do this later.
Okay, great. That sounds terrific.
Jim will fix it.
Thank you very much.
He's not here.
Let's get to Roger Goodell. Yesterday, Roger Goodell spoke at the owners' meetings. He held a press conference, very formal press conference. He had this to say about the entire situation happening with the Patriots and their punishment and everyone, you know, wondering when's this thing going to get wrapped up.
Roger, on the Patriots issue, what are your thoughts on the Patriots situation, and when do you anticipate having a resolution?
Judy, I've actually been down here almost the entire time, so I only had an opportunity to spend some time with a couple of our staff. You know, obviously it's under review. We're going to be thorough. We're going to take our time and make sure we look at everything that's pertinent here, and then we'll make a decision, and obviously there won't be much time before we make a decision when you hear about it.
So, yeah. If I can follow up on Judy's question, you mentioned you'll review all the factors. What kind of factor is the Patriots' history of having previous taping incidents playing that investigation?
Of course, that's a factor. But I think the key things are the new information that we have. That information we obviously already have. But I think the issue is what information do we have from this incident?
Do you anticipate a decision by the end of the season?
I don't have an anticipation. We're going to be thorough, and we're going to get all the facts, and we'll go from there.
He's got a bit of Milton from Office Space. I've never noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
It's his dry lips.
We're going to bust him.
I haven't been paid.
We're going to get these guys.
I haven't been paid to confirm my paycheck.
So that's what Roger Goodell had to say yesterday when asked those questions, pretty simple questions. Does the pass factor in? He said, of course it does. I'm not surprised to hear that they will be treated as a repeat offender in the eyes of the league. The other part being that he has not had a great deal of involvement in the investigation to this point. Do we put stock in that answer? Do we take that one at face value? Because if you do, I think there's a couple of problems here. Number one, Goodell not being involved means someone else is more involved, like Troy Vincent or the Jeff Pashes of the world. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take that answer at face value.
Well, I wasn't down there. I mean, you could get a feel for the room, I think, but if somebody was down there,
that would be helpful.
We could play sound all day, and you know, maybe you talk to somebody out in the lobby, or this guy maybe dropped a ticket.
Hi, Bert.
You guys would have gotten an update. I didn't realize Jim wasn't here. I've been texting Jim for the last hour, and no response. I just figured he got the text.
He's tied up with something.
Okay. Yes. So I apologize for that. I could give you a fake excuse or something like that. The truth is I drove off with my daughter's stroller. And so I had to double back. I got 10 minutes down the road.
You had it in the car.
I don't know if you guys have ever been in that situation.
I've been in similar situations to that.
You
had something that the kids need and you had it in your car.
Can't make a couple hours without a stroller.
Amazing. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Start over again.
There we go.
All right. Bert Breer is now with us. Let me start this over. Bert is brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. Has your bank changed? Then change where you bank. At Rockland Federal Credit Union, they have the account for you, providing their members with quality, convenient, and friendly service. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. All right, let's bring back Roger Goodell here. You've already heard it, so you don't need to hear it again. Are we taking this at face value? What do you said, that it will be maybe a thorough investigation that takes a little bit of time, and that he to this point has not been all that involved in it?
I do. Like, this is a football ops issue. So I think Troy Vincent and those people are the people who are primarily leading the charge on this. It's not something that I think he'd specifically be involved in, at least in the early stages. That said, if I'm the Patriots, I'm pushing for a quick resolution, because the longer this drags out, the more your name gets dragged through the mud.
Yes.
And you guys know how this works in our business. On Sunday, it's going to be, if we get to Sunday and this thing isn't resolved, and I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of penalty, but if this isn't resolved Sunday, what are we all talking about on pregame Sunday?
This.
Yeah. So,
well, not like, the matchup with Andy Dalton. I know that.
Right.
And against the secondary.
And look, like, I can take you guys through the entire story if you want to know exactly how this all happened. And you guys know about the whole thing with the Do Your Job crew and everything else. So my understanding is that whoever the camera op was took a tripod, set it up right in front of a row of Bengals scouts, put the camera there, trained it on the Bengals bench area, and walked away from the camera. And that was how the Bengals scouts were able to.
Oh, that's an interesting element. So, but he wasn't standing with the camera.
So he didn't. He walked away from it for a minute.
So he just let it roll.
And it was rolling for a minute. And so, like, that's how the Bengals scouts could see the viewfinder, right?
Because the guy wasn't standing between them and the camera anymore.
One of them's like, what the hell is going on here? Of course you'd be like that, right? Like, if you're there. Like,
yeah, if there's a camera right in front of me in the press box, focused on my sideline.
Zach Taylor. Like,
what is this guy?
Yeah. And so they go over to one of the Bengals PR people and say, hey, I don't know what the hell's going on here, because the PR people are basically control the press box, you know?
Sure.
So they go over to one of the PR people. I don't know what the hell's going on here, but you might want to go take care of it. And so, the PR people then go to the
league security,
go to the league officials that are on site. The league officials go and they confront the guy who's back at the camera at that point. That's where I think the 8 minutes come in. And so they, obviously take him outside the press box, talk to him, and that's when they confiscate the SD card. So that's the way all of it went down.
So he wasn't going back and forth to down a distance, like scoreboard time, and then back to sideline.
I mean, I don't know exactly what's on the tape. I was told, and I don't know how long he was actually standing in front of the camera. All I know is that he moved away from the camera for a minute and then came back to it.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it's like there's not that much. You're going to have to interview some people, right? So I'm assuming they'll talk to Bill. The league officials, I assume, would talk to Bill. I'm assuming they talk to anybody who'd be a witness to what happened. The Bengals people, of course.
Sure.
Maybe some Browns people, what happened there. If I'm the Patriots, I do want this thing wrapped up fairly quickly. They fell on the sword. You read the statement. Like, they said, like, we screwed up. And, hey, look, like, I made the comparison earlier in the week. You guys remember when, like, USC got in trouble? Right?
Yeah.
Like, for with the Reggie Bush thing and everything else. I mean, this would be the equivalent of one of Pete Carroll's assistants, like, taking a recruit into a car dealership. You know what I mean? Like, maybe nothing happened.
I don't even think it's that.
No, it's like, maybe nothing happened.
Maybe there was nothing going on there.
Maybe there's nothing going on there, but you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a bad look.
Like, if there's one piece of equipment the Patriots can't mess up with, what is it?
Yeah, it's a camera, video camera.
Right? Cameras.
Like, if there's one thing that you cannot screw around with, if you're the Patriots, like, and no matter what happened in 2007, and everybody's got their own take on that, but no matter what happened in 2007, from that point forward, the reality of it is, if you're the Patriots, the one thing you can't be caught doing is screwing around with cameras and the opponent's signals.
All right,
that's
Bert.
It.
We want to hear more from what was being said maybe around the league as you are just back, fresh off a trip to Dallas for the owners' meetings. Settle in. We'll get you a pair of headphones. We'll do this right. Bert Breer, the MMQB, is in studio with us and will be until noontime today on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
So those reports that this would be wrapped up quickly may be premature, based on Roger Goodell's comments yesterday. By the way, Spygate wrapped up by Wednesday in 2007.
That was pretty cut, caught pretty on cut Sunday, dry there, right?
September 10th. The penalties were handed out on September 13th.
Yeah, well, because it was like, we got you.
Yeah. Boom! Bam! We got you.
You're screwed.
They had already sent the team to Foxborough to stomp on the tapes. They were there to destroy the evidence, move on, hand out the penalty. Very firm penalty at that time, I believe. I mean, a lot of money, first round pick, they got him. Now this may be a little bit more drawn out.
I mean, obviously, you have to punish
him. It obviously is more drawn out. It's already Thursday.
I mean, you have to punish him, right?
Yes, of course.
Like you have to fine
even him. If it's a fine of $100,000 or whatever they come up with.
Because you have to create a deterrent for everybody else.
Of course.
Or else you'll have, like, there'll be lots of projects like this happening.
So this is the other, this is the question I have for you.
Yeah.
You coming off the league meetings.
Yep.
I know that nobody was really talking about it on the record, but what was the word around the hotel there about how owners are feeling about this? We've had mixed reports on this. Some people saying that they're not all that upset, and they're not as upset as you think they would be.
Yeah, because I don't
given
think
that it's the Patriots.
Think Bill's not this crazy.
I think some people are taking this as an opportunity to laugh at the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's like it was like a joke. Like when I talked, and there were a lot of GMs.
But that's good for the Patriots, though.
Yeah.
They had their
particular meeting works. There's a labor seminar where they like project the cap for next year, and they do all this different stuff. So a
labor
lot of
seminar, how they start licking their chops about how we're going to hose the players again next year.
As they stay and hold it the Four Seasons. What's a coffee taste like at the Four Seasons?
The Four Seasons is incredible.
What do you think?
Is it good?
It is an amazing.
Those meetings where they're like,
does it smell good when you walk in the lobby?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, wait until
huge
we break their
right
will next year. Wait until we just break them down and they then go, oh, please. And then they come back and they take whatever it is we're offering.
The GMs and all those guys, they aren't invited to that meeting. That's like a very, very small meeting. Like, you have to be like either.
Sounds fun.
You got to be an owner.
You
got to
be
right?
an owner or like immediate family.
Yeah, like that's why they're out there. Like,
it's like the mob. It's like the mob.
I can't wait. We're going to crush these guys.
But there are GMs in town because they have they do a lot of the personnel stuff.
Labor seminar.
For 2020. That's what that is.
The labor seminar. Was Casario down there? Or no?
I didn't see him, no. But, like, you know, there were, like, Brandon Bean from Buffalo was there. You know, Joe Douglas from the Jets and Steve Keim from the Cardinals. There were a lot of GMs or upper-level personnel people there. And the sense I got was that this is just like the Patriots have egg on their face. Like they just come out of this looking dumb because I don't think anybody believes.
I think it's embarrassing.
I don't think anybody believes that if Bill was going to cheat again, that this would be the way he would do it.
Not with our technology nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I think most people look at this and just kind of like, oh, ha ha, this is kind of a dumb coincidence. And look how dumb they look for this. And, you know, it's the same thing you'd normally see in these sorts of situations. When somebody embarrasses themselves like this, everybody else is laughing.
So they're willing to let them off easy for it.
I don't think it's going to be that. I mean, like, you have, because of what's involved, yeah, which is videotaping a sideline, you have to come down on them to some degree. It can't be just a simple slap on the wrist. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's, and look, like, you guys saw what they, how they came down on Mike Tomlin for the Ben Roethlisberger injury reporting, and how they came down on Patricia and Quinn and the Lions for the Stafford injury reporting. I would think
what did that end up being? The Stafford one.
It was, I think that the individual guys, Beetle, if you can Google it, I don't have my computer in front of me, but like,
yeah,
I think it was in the tens of thousands for Patricia and Quinn, and then the hundreds of thousands for the team.
Wow.
So it was something like that. But
it was a total of 25,000 for Matt Patricia, 10,000 for Bob Quinn.
Okay, and then 75.
And the team was fined 75,000.
Right. So
$110,000 total in fines.
Right. So I mean, like, I think it'll probably be more serious than those.
Okay.
I think
250.
Yeah.
Half a million. That's whatever it is.
My first thought was 250.
Right.
I'm like, I got to write.
Is it
going to
be a draft pick? I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I think it'll probably be a fine. And I don't know. I would think like maybe Bill gets a fine because I wouldn't be totally shocked.
Hear that, wrath.
But if Bill gets a fine, I wouldn't be totally shocked just because it's a football matter. Even if this guy isn't reporting to football ops, it's a football matter. And so a lot of times in those sorts of cases, somebody in football ops has to take the hit. And as far as the Patriots go, like, there's no division of power the way there is in Detroit. You know what I mean? Like, where Quinn gets part of the fine and Patricia gets part of the fine. The buck stops with Bill, so Bill would be the one that would take the hit there.
He's going to be very upset with that if he truly had nothing to do whatsoever.
Oh,
no one attached to him had anything to do with
this.
But,
like, logically, it's a competitive matter, so that falls under football ops.
Right, but it makes you look guilty.
Right.
You can now say, oh, Bill Belichick was fined in 2019.
I don't think he gets
after
fined.
His team maybe was not. Found to have maybe been not. Taping a sideline.
No.
Maybe not. I would say this. I think the league...
History will not be kind to him on that front.
And it goes back to, like, everything he kept reiterating, throughout his press conferences. And, for the most part, it's true. It has nothing to do with the football operations. This had nothing to do with it.
That's
I was
true.
Thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, almost as if to get out in front of, there could be something really bad on that tape, which is going to, point toward the football operations. Buddy is just saying it's got nothing to do with us. Got nothing to do. How can you fine us? How can you take away from our draft picks? Almost as if a preemptive defense. That's not us.
Right,
that's not the team.
So Hardy, though, here's the thing. Like, what's the problem with this? The problem with this is it's a competitive issue, right? Like, the reason why this would be a problem in the first place is because it could create a competitive advantage for somebody.
Sure.
Right. So if you're going to punish somebody, it's like the people who are sort of in charge of that sort of thing. And it's the football ops people that are in charge of that sort of thing. I'm not saying Bill. I don't think Bill has any involvement in this, to be clear. Like, I don't think Bill had anything to do with it. I don't think Nick Caserio, I don't think any of those guys have anything to do with this. I think it's a dumb coincidence, and it makes them look stupid. At the same time, I totally understand why the league has to come down on them for this, because they've got to create a deterrent so things like this don't happen.
617-779-0985. Were there any other details you had on what happened that day?
I think it was pretty cut and dry. I mean,
the 8-minute video is what we spent a little bit of time on yesterday. So the staffer from Cincinnati took an 8-minute video, right?
I don't know if the staffer like the cell phone. There was cell phone video of it,
which,
yes,
according to multiple reports now, is an 8-minute video. Will we ever get to see that video? Will we ever get to see the video of the sideline? That 8-minute video is on someone's, cloud, whether it's whatever phone it is they're using.
If they find it non-egregious,
that thing's backed up somewhere.
I could see them releasing a video.
Someone's got a hold of that.
Either Roger or Troy was asked that yesterday, and I think that they didn't answer it directly, but they said, because there was a whole question, are the other 31 teams going to get to see it?
Right.
Because that's, an important piece of this.
If I'm an owner, I go in yesterday, and I'm like, Roger, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what happened here.
You want to see what they're punishing,
Yes.
And
for that moving forward too. If they're going to be owners for a long time, hey, this is our league. This is what we want to do. And
what the hell were these guys doing? I want to know. I want to know what to look for.
Well, and those owners, I mean, look.
Okay, so now what do you do? You find them to make sure next time.
Goodell works for them.
Right.
Yeah.
They are the bosses.
Yeah.
So they're going to tell them, you find them. And then next time, make sure a team that would want to do this again credentials
one of
both
them,
teams and the league.
Someone asked in one of the press conferences, I can't remember if it was Troy or Roger, but someone asked, will you be transparent about this on the back end? And they said that generally we aren't we don't like show video to other owners. But if the owners push for it, like I said, they're those guys' bosses.
Right.
They're the ones who are paying Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent and the rest of them. So if those guys really want to see it, I think that, like, say 6, 7, 8 owners say, no. Like, I want it out there, what's on that tape, because we need to be transparent about this because of the past history here. I'd assume those guys could probably make it.
Well, because the last time around, they got the benefit of having everything destroyed, no evidence released other than the Jake Lazor video
right. That
surfaced a week later, the following Sunday.
Yeah.
And we were talking yesterday about not only that video, but the fact that someone who taped this video, the tape of the tape, if you will,
yeah. That
exists somewhere outside of the NFL. The cards were pulled from the Patriots camera, right. And the NFL took them. Well, whoever taped it on their phone could send that to somebody. And obviously, other staffers for the Bengals have seen the tape, as was reported by The Athletic in Cincinnati.
So it's been passed around the building a little bit. So in their building, have it.
In their building, that tape exists somewhere.
It's like when Jan and Michael Scott went to sandals.
Where,
that's where the 8-minute tape is. The 8-minute tape is floating around the building in Cincinnati somewhere.
I'll seriously try to get it.
There you go. Bert, get on it. And so... that 8-minute tape is out there, which means are we going to turn on, as you said, if they don't wrap it up by the end of the week, you get to Sunday morning, the pregame shows are on, we know how everyone likes to make a splash on Sunday pregame, and is Jay Glazer going to show up on Fox Sports on Sunday morning and go, here's a 1-minute recap of the 8-minute tape? Is that going to happen this weekend? Is someone down there going to leak it? And I just wonder.
I mean, I will say this. Like, I think the Bengals on Monday and Tuesday were fairly upset about this. Like, because it's like, well, wait a second. Like, everybody's turning this into a joke. Like, this is a serious thing for us.
See, I'd be pissed that you didn't tell us. Like, that's why I think they're taking it to where they're taking it.
Which is like,
you're just going to ask the Browns and not tell us?
I will say this. Like, I think that's totally fair. Like, if you're going to do that, if another team's going to walk in there into the press box at a game that they are not a part of with a camera, like, I think everybody should be apprised of that. Like, I think that's fair. Like, the league, the Bengals, the Browns, everybody should have known about it. So, but I also know this, like, I think the Patriots have sort of fallen on the sword for everything, you know? And so, there's no argument. The Patriots aren't pushing back on any of this, which I think generally can help in cases like this.
Bert Breer is with us. We'll get to your calls coming up next, 617-779-0985. We do have some other Patriots-related topics that we will be getting to today.
It feels like that officiating issue happened like 3 weeks ago now, doesn't it?
It does. It's put it in the rear view a little bit, but I do want to ask you about that coming up next, Bert, because it's gone away temporarily in terms of the discussion of Sunday's game, but it sounds like there's going to be some real changes on the way.
And
we'll
I've
mix
got
that.
Something interesting on that, too.
Oh!
That, like, there was an owner that stood up at the meeting yesterday and asked them to just basically, we need to rework everything.
Bert's going to tell us who the owner is, right?
Yes.
He'll tell us next. Don't go anywhere. Here's Hardy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And Mahomes from the gun on 3rd and 2. Takes the snap under some pressure. Steps up. Throws across the middle. Kelsey makes the catch. Curls back to the 35. Ball's knocked down. Gilmore picks it up. He's on the run to the 50. Yeah. Gilmore to the 45, 40.
Cut back.
And now the play is stopped with the whistles to sound. Devin McCourty undercutting Travis Kelsey. They're going to say that Kelsey was down by contact. The video board shows it, and Bill Belichick just fired the challenge flag again on the
field. That ball's out.
Coming loose, it appears, before Kelsey hit the turf. Yeah, the ball's clearly out.
Oh, that ball's clearly out.
What a great play by Devin McCourty.
Unbelievable. McCourty knocks it out.
Gilmore came in with the knifing tackle, and McCourty kept fighting and fighting with that left hand and eventually forced the ball out before Kelsey's right elbow hit the turf.
What a play.
What a great play by Devin McCourty.
That's the way you turn the ball over.
That is a call that should not stand.
So it sounds like the league is going to take a good hard look at officiating at the end of the season. And Bert has inside scoopage on one owner who got up in front of the room and told them they need to take a hard look and maybe rework things top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what happened.
So, obviously, officiating was a big topic of discussion at this particular meeting, and they discussed, like, they got their reports on, you know, how many plays have been reviewed and how many have been overturned and pass interference reviews and all of that different stuff. And the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, who's actually a local for us, he's from here, he stood up and he basically said, we need to do a deep dive between now and March, ahead of the league meeting that happens in West Palm at the end of March, into all to everything, and just look at every single piece of the way that we officiate the game. And the phrase I was told he used was, we need to change the paradigm. We need to look at if we're throwing too many flags, if we're throwing senseless flags, if we're messing up the pace of the game.
Yes, like, all true.
Are we throwing too many flags away from the play that are irrelevant to what's going on the field? Like, we need to look at everything. And, like, we need to make it more efficient. And his whole thing was, we're screwing up the viewer experience. Like, that's what we're doing. And it doesn't help anybody if on Monday morning we're all sitting here talking about it. So let's fix it. Let's not just plug holes. Let's look at overhauling the entire freaking thing. And I think it's smart, right?
Yeah. I mean, you had Brady tweet that out and put it on Instagram. Remember that one Thursday game? Like, I can't watch this anymore. Let them play.
Yeah.
It was like some stupid holding calls, late hit to the head.
Right.
It's just let them play. So let us play.
The phrase was like change the paradigm was the phrase. And I think the overriding thought I got wasn't like necessarily a criticism. And you guys know I killed Al Riveron the last couple times I was on. And I think he probably should be gone. This wasn't that, though. This was more like we need to just this thing has become so bastardized and screwed up. Because we've spent so much time adding new rules, taking rules out, points of emphasis. This thing is so sideways. We need to just blow the whole thing up. Because there are too many games where the entire pace of the game, the feel of the game is just screwed up by the officials taking center stage. And that shouldn't be what it is.
Or they're throwing flags that no one's looking for.
Right.
They're looking to emphasize things that I just don't think people want to see emphasized as well.
Right. And the question becomes who are you serving when you do that? You're not serving the audience. You're not serving the league. You're not serving the teams. Like who are you serving? You know?
Yeah, I totally understand that. And just everything you said is everything that we as fans complain about.
Right.
That Jeffrey Lurie brought to the meeting.
Yeah.
Are we slowing down the game? Are we throwing needless flags? Yes. 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 All true. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Nate, who's in Shrewsbury today. Hey, Nate.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Zo.
What's up, Nate?
Mark, hey. How you guys doing?
Great. How you doing, Nate?
What do you got?
First time calling, my friend, but I got to tell you, those refs were awful. That was a clear Harry touchdown. Absolutely.
Well, was it clear? It was close.
Out of bounds. Go ahead, guys.
Sorry. No. Okay, Nate, we will. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate the call. It was a horrible call. It was badly missed.
Again, yeah, I think the marking off of a penalty is way worse than the other two. Like, none of those referees got it. None of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's because the touchdown is like human error. He couldn't see the sideline.
It's close to the sideline. I can see it's close, but then you go to replay, you didn't have your replay.
I mean, and you can see where, if you watch the touchdown, you can see where I think it was a Chiefs player kind of fell in front, may have blocked the view of the official. That's human error.
No. There needs to be a human error is the one from the goal line where he's 3 yards away, 3 feet away from him, and he's pointing where he thought he stepped out, which he did not.
Right.
There's nobody in front of him.
There's just, it's like, the problem with that is you don't have a mechanism to get that right, which is, again, where the sky judge would come in. And that's another thing that Lurie did last March.
That was what he pushed, right?
Lurie stood up and pushed the sky judge.
Love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's
becoming our favorite owner.
I mean, like
at least for this purpose.
If you have a sky judge, and if you guys want to take – and so a coach actually pointed this out to me. What kind of coach?
Head coach?
A head coach.
A head coach.
Pointed this out to me. There was a play in the Pittsburgh – in the Pittsburgh Baltimore game earlier in the year where they actually used a sky judge?
Oh no, we know. We
the Earl Thomas.
That was a hit. I thought it was a hit on Rudolph, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, we're aware.
Yeah. They used a sky judge.
Right.
Like, so
illegally. Illegal use of the sky judge.
You're already doing it. Like, so if you have a sky judge, on the Harry play, you know how simple that is? It's the guy up there saying, hey,
no more.
Like
it's a touchdown.
The head referee has an earpiece in, like, buzz down. Hey.
Touchdown.
That's a touchdown.
And you know
that's
what you
it.
Do?
It is over.
You don't have to have the review booth. You don't have to have them stop the game and look at anything.
No.
Sky judge watches from his sky judge area and says, touchdown. Harry was in. And it's a touchdown, guys. Go. And he can determine that from watching on television like the rest of us could in 30 seconds.
That to me.
And it's over. And then the referee on the field could turn to the head coach and just say, sorry, sky judge.
That was a clear Harry touchdown.
Yes, sky judge. And
that's
walk away.
That's the craziest thing to me about all of this, right? Like, me, you, sitting on our couch at home, we'll watch the Jets-Ravens game tonight, and we will have the benefit, 500 miles away of crystal clear HD from 15 different angles. We can see everything. And we're not giving the benefit of that to the officials.
It's crazy.
Why? Like, we're not giving the event.
And if you had a sky judge, I wonder if they would think about eliminating challenges, too, where you don't need to challenge it anymore. There's someone who's going to be dedicated to watching your game for anything we screw up.
It's easy.
And we could change everything on the fly. You don't. No more stopping for your challenges. Nope. Right. We'll handle it.
Well, and that's the thing is you eradicate the challenge system. No more challenge system. Right. And it's
like, sky judge.
And here's the thing is, like, you don't have, like, the thing about it is, like, a lot of people are like, well, you're going to be changing every play. No, the play clock governs that. Right. So the play clock, if it's obvious, you're going to be able to tell really quickly. Right. You'd be able to tell almost instantaneously.
I'm wondering if they're also going to take into account and maybe seriously consider strapping someone to the camera over the field, even if it's ceremonial, just to call that guy the sky judge. I think it'd be fun. It'd be nice and entertaining.
Have him on the wire.
Have him on the wire.
Right on the camera.
Wires they have
right to the bottom of the camera.
At the very least.
On there in a harness.
It's like a bungee suit.
There's our sky judge for the game.
It'd be like the booger mobile on steroids.
I think a mannequin would get the job done.
Yes. Just something to mark that there is a sky judge.
Just to remind
even if it's ceremonial in nature.
It's like use an elf on the shelf. Someone's always watching you.
Yes.
Right? Just have him up there. Sky elf.
He doesn't mess around. At all. 617-779-0985. Burt Breer is with us. More with you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap. And the tip digs in, and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Song sucks. There's a good bunch of Christmas songs that suck.
This one does not suck.
Yeah. I think it's too funky.
Donny Hathaway.
I don't know.
Hathaway?
Donny Hathaway. You know what that would be for Shaughnessy?
Black guy named Don.
Yep. Bingo. I don't know if we ever got to Donny Hathaway in our list.
I don't think so.
I don't think we did.
Huh.
I think Donny Hathaway may have passed away young. He was talented guy, obviously.
Donny Osmond. Don Quixote.
Hathaway was
33 when he passed away. Yeah, he died young. Unfortunate. Bert Breer is with us. Hi, Bert.
Yeah.
Let's get to some more of the calls that are waiting on both the investigation and also some of the news on the league wanting to take a hard look at their officiating. 617-779-0985. Dennis in the car. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I guess we can all agree that if Bill gets fined and this thing gets attached to his name, that he's going to be pretty pissed.
He He's already pissed. I mean, without even being fined. He's livid.
Do you think he will be pissed enough to demand the job of the guy that shot the video to get him fired?
He may already be gone.
Zoe said that a couple of times now. He may already be gone. Is he gone? Fair question. I don't know if Bill will care about the guy's job. Or
Bill doesn't make that call. That goes to ownership.
Like, what's Bill, that? What does
Bill's
that do
not
for
his
him?
Boss. Bill's not that guy's boss.
What's that do for him, though? Like, why would he do that?
Because he's pissed.
Maybe, but it wouldn't achieve anything. It wouldn't make him look better.
No, what it does is it sends a message to the rest of the people that will work thereafter that we don't do this.
Yeah, I think, do
your homework a little more.
Is it really the camera guy's fault, though?
Not the camera guy.
Should the camera guy have had some direction?
When you've got a full-time
producer.
Camera guys shoot what they're told to shoot.
The producer's, that's
not a good look for him.
Right. Yeah, because he's the one who should be directing it, who should have, like, hey, I know what I can and can't do here.
Yeah, and if he didn't know, and it was an honest mistake where he didn't know, then someone should have informed him at some point about what those rules are in an NFL stadium that isn't yours.
That's in a game that you're not participating in.
Correct.
You know, like in a game, like that is about as sensitive as it gets. You're in a stadium you're like a third party in a stadium as an NFL team with two other teams there. That's as sensitive as
Jeff Howe indicated in his story on The Athletic that the individual did not know the rules because he was more familiar with being at home shooting at Gillette Stadium where shots of the sideline would be fully allowed because it's the team filming themselves. And he thought that, you know, because of that, that level of access was okay.
And that's on the Patriots.
Exactly. It's back to somebody.
Right.
There's
right.
somebody along the way in the chain of command that it would have been their responsibility to make sure their staff were fully aware of NFL rules.
Right.
And this is an obvious one. Like, say you had no knowledge of the rules and you don't know exactly what the rules are. Do you think setting up a camera and focusing on a sideline is a good idea? Given your team's history.
Given the fact you're in a press box where no other ones are.
Yeah. Yeah. Given you're in an area
where a unique spot here.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Use some common sense.
Right.
Even if you don't know the rules, you're like,
it's not that difficult to figure it out.
I'm not going to sit here and leave the camera. As you said, the individual left the camera alone and walked away.
Yeah.
And so we know that it was shut down after 8 minutes of a Bengals staffer filming it for 8 minutes at the end of the first quarter. That's 8 minutes in real time, which means. Was the thing set up the entire first quarter?
I have a
just
little
sitting
bit,
there, I rolling have, on the sideline?
I have a little more information, too, on what was after I did a little digging there.
Oh, a couple minutes ago you did
I
a
have
little
I have a little more information.
They send you the tape yet?
I don't have the tape yet. I'm trying to get it. I think I am going to be able to get it, actually. Because I know it's – don't look at my phone, Beetle. It's private.
I've seen if it came in yet.
it's part of the video I was told toggled between coaches and players. So it went coaches to players, and that's what the Bengals were upset about.
Sideline to on-field?
Yeah.
On-field back to sideline?
Yeah.
Oh. That's not good.
Yeah.
So like because that's if, the what you, upset about. If what you are tracking is substitution patterns and things of the like, to be moving it from sideline to field, field, sideline. Yeah. It's like what's happening in the game and what lines up on the sideline with what's happening in the game.
Right. So, right? Yeah. So, I mean, like, honestly, like, it's interesting because what's on that tape should help tell this.
I don't know if it's any worse than just focusing it on the sideline.
I don't know if it is.
I mean, because you could match it
up.
I don't know if it's any worse,
you know what's bad? What would be bad? Here's what would be really bad.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
What would be really bad, and I don't think this is on the tape, what would be really bad. Because this is the way scouting video works, right? Mm-hmm. What would be really bad is if you saw a shot up to down and distance and the clock and then down
That's what Jim was saying yesterday.
If that was on the tape, I don't think like going coaches to sideline, because you could be showing how
That's
like
normal.
The scout's doing his job, right?
Okay, he's looking there and then here's the play.
Like, what would be bad is if there was like if it panned up to the scoreboard
then
and
you
then
get
panned
detail.
Back down.
It's detail.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That would be bad.
Don't you think the question about where the scout was is pretty relevant to this too? Where the hell was the scout? Where was the Patriots? He knows the rules.
Yeah.
He is zero. I mean, he must know the rules. He does this job every week.
Yeah.
He would know that you're not allowed to
But even if he's
film
down
anything from
four,
where you
four
are.
Four chairs
in the
down?
Park.
He's not watching what the hell
I agree.
Yeah.
No, I agree, Zoe.
Yeah.
But where was he is my question.
I will say this in defense of the scout. It's not his job to manage those people. And if he tells the camera crew, like, So the guy, say the camera guy says,
Bill's already let him off the hook. He's doing his job.
I mean, say the producer says to him,
Bill, like, dodge the question.
Well, no, but say the producer says to the scout, like, okay, like, what do you do? And he's like, well, you know, like, so part of my job is I have to watch, like, guys coming on and off the field, and that's part of what I'm doing. And then the producer just says, okay. And then the scout during the course of the game is obviously really busy as the game's going on because you're taking down all kinds of different stuff. And like, and then the producer walks away and says, okay, well, I'm going to get a shot of that. That's absolutely plausible that it could happen that way.
All right, we've got headlines with Hardy. They take only a moment, and we'll be right back. I promise we will go to your calls. I see you waiting. Thank you. We'll get right to waiting. Thank you. We'll get right to
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.